to Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
All right, here we go. Welcome back, podcast world. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 932 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. You know, I've got a fun episode lined up for us. Before we get too far, let me announce that there will be a fresh drop and a restock today at 4:20 p.m. Mountain Time at Irie Direct. That's right, make sure you check Irie Direct for a restock and a fresh drop. There will be a restock of Gassafras and a restock of Cushies and Cream and a bunch of brand new stuff drops today at 4:20 p.m. Mountain Time. That drop does include something brand new called the Gorilla Cock. That is spelled C-A-U-L-K, so don't get yourself carried away. But the Gorilla Cock is a cross of GG4 and the Cream. It's a beautiful plant, beautiful flowers, big, gigantic flowers, huge yields, generous yields. It will pay the bills. Lots of crystals. I have to be careful with the words I use here at the start of the YouTube video, but Gorilla Cock will definitely pay the bills for you. Also available will be Echo 7, that is Han Solo Burger to the Cream. Also Cherry Vanilla Skunk, which is Han Solo Burger and the Cream. There's also Stairway to Lemon. Big shout out to my buddy Mike for naming Stairway to Lemon. That is Ohio Lemon G to the Cream. Also, there's Whirlpool. What is Whirlpool? Whirlpool is the Cream. It is the machine across to the Cream. The machine was made by me. That is a Chem de la Chem to Arise. I got a cut from a friend that smells like a shout out to Casey and Badlands. I got a cut from them. It smells like red shop rags, like gas and oil and chemicals, like something you'd find in a car shop or in a welding shop. And you'd pick it up and you go, what is that smell? Never do that. But if you smell it, it smells like gasoline and kerosene and chemicals and just gross, disgusting deliciousness. That is the machine. I pollinated that with the Cream, and I call that Whirlpool. Why do I call that Whirlpool? Because it is a washing machine. It's a washer, and I think it'll wash well for you. That is Whirlpool. Then coming up is Julius. Julius is named after a fish song. There's a little bit of irony in there. It's named after a fish song. It is also an orange strain. It's Orangegasm crossed to the Cream. Julius. Did not call it Orange Julius. It is simply Julius after the fish song. And then, of course, there is a restock. Oh, there are Cream S1s available. Also a restock of the Gassafras and that Cushies and Cream. And a lot more stuff popping and dropping today, 4:20 p.m. Mountain Time. Make sure you hit Irie Direct. I've got to be very careful what I say here at the start of the podcast. I think that covers all of the advertising and the business that I need to do here at the start of the show. Let's segue into everybody's favorite part of the podcast. That, of course, is the question and answer portion of the show. In just a minute, I'll tell you how to get your questions to me. Before we do that, let me read this first question. This one came from somebody called Leroy Jenkins. Leroy Jenkins, since I have read your message here on the podcast, make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free prize from Irie Direct. We'll tell you more about how to get those free prizes and how to get these questions to me a little later in the show. This question says, hey, Rasta Jeff, Orangegasm has been one of my favorite strains I've ever smoked. It was my first grow ever that I got as a clone from a local. I'm glad you love the Orangegasm. It's a very popular strain, popular line. Very good medicinal product. It works great for the daytime. A lot of people really love that. One of my favorites. Also one of my best sellers that I've ever made. I'm quite proud of that. It goes on. It says, my question is, with a seed ban coming up, if you guys aren't aware, November 12th or 13th, there is a seed ban coming. It will no longer be legal to ship our favorite seeds across state lines. That will be now an illegal act. So you guys have got to get your seeds before November 12th. I would say order them by like November 1st if you can, because we've got to ship them and they've got to land and get to you. There's going to be a huge ordering happening. So get those seeds ordered, get them soon. Make sure you check the drops at Irie Direct is my advice. But where are we now? There's a seed ban coming. And this question says, with the seed ban coming, I've been stocking up on strains that are old school strains and some land races. That is a very good idea. Stock up because it's going to be illegal to ship them in the very near future. It says, how can I tell if these seeds are genuine and I was not ripped off? I tried to stay with more known breeders, but how can I be sure the seed banks don't play a fast one on me? That is a very good question. I'm going to finish up this the question here, and we'll answer more of it. It said, I had a seed bank that is local to my state that had a handful of your strains listed that I couldn't find anywhere else, so I bought them. I couldn't find too much about the seed bank either. So that's dangerous already. It says, they did show up, but they are not packaged. Oh, so you ordered them, but they're not packaged in your packaging. They're in clear discs. He describes the packaging with the strain written on top with the marker. Then he describes the strains he bought. Then he says, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me. So that does not sound like my packaging. And that's a big red flag right there. So they're asking, when this person is buying seeds, they want to know how can they be sure that they're buying them from the real deal, that they're getting, if they go online and they order Arise seeds, are they actually going to get Arise seeds? How can they be sure of that? The only way to really do that, the best way to do that, I guess, is to order directly from the breeder if you can. If your favorite breeder, it doesn't have to be Irie Genetics, it doesn't have to be me, it could be anybody, but see if your favorite breeder has a website. A lot of the best breeders out there do have a website. You can shop directly through them. It makes it a lot easier, and you're going to get it straight. If it comes from Irie Direct, it's direct from me. Nobody could have swapped that package. It is what it is. Other vendors, make sure if you see something from a vendor, and this counts for every seed maker out there, not just me. If you see a line at a vendor that you're not sure about, just email the breeder and say, hey, did you give a bunch of seeds or sell a bunch of seeds to this vendor? And they'll be able to tell you like, yes, I did. They can also say, no, I didn't. And it's still possible for that vendor to have those seeds. I had something happen where I didn't realize a vendor acquired my seeds through a buyout of another company. One website had a bunch of my inventory. Another website had a bunch of my inventory. One website did not have the inventory. Another website was like, hey, I'm failing. This guy bought this website out, consolidated the website inventory to one website. And then someone was like, hey, does this website sell your seeds? And I was like, no. And that guy messaged me. He's like, hey, bro, actually, I bought all the shit from that other website. So they are legit. And I had to believe him. And I believe it happened. So it's best to maybe contact the breeder and see if they sold seeds or vended seeds to that vendor, because they'll know if they did most of the time. Now, you said that these seeds you bought came in discs with the names written on them. Sometimes I did that if I ran out of packaging, but that's very unlikely that you got those at this time in my business career. That was kind of an older school thing that I did. Maybe what happened is maybe this person, and you said you bought Orange Gasm and Golden Goat. Those are my rarest strains. Those are the hardest to get of anything that I make. Orange Gasm, Lemon Jeffrey, and Golden Goat sell the fastest out of everything. So if anybody was going to dupe you, those would be the things to sell you. Those would be the fakes that they would make the most profit and sell the most quickly. So I hate to say that that's a possibility. Maybe, perhaps, they got a bulk deal from me and bought like 100 or 1,000 of those seeds, and maybe they pieced them out into smaller packages themselves, but that is highly unlikely because I didn't sell a lot of bulk of those. So I can't guarantee that those are legit or not. The question is, how can I tell if these seeds are genuine and I wasn't ripped off? Buy them from a reputable vendor. Hopefully you can get them from the breeder. You've already got them. So now let's look at the packaging. Does the packaging look legit? A lot of the more modern, reliable breeders have good packaging. Honestly, my packaging is more archaic than most of the guys out there. I don't want to charge you the extra $5 to fold up a package and give you some fancy box. My shit is affordable. That's the idea. Get you the seeds. Like, I hate it when I'm going to ramble. I hate it when I go to the dispensary and some brands, you buy a gram of concentrates and you get a box. And then you open the box and there's another little box inside of there wrapped in fucking tissue paper. So the first thing I do, I throw the outer box away, throw some tissue paper away. Now I have to unscrew this one and there's another thing inside. It's like a fucking Russian doll of packaging. Charge me $4 less and give me a little bubble with the fucking strain written on it. That's all I need. That's what I try to do with my seeds. You guys, it feels cool to open 7 different fucking layers, but you're going to throw all that away. That's all going to go in a landfill. I had to pay for it. You're going to throw it away. I got to charge you for it. Let's just not charge you 7 extra dollars per fucking package of seeds. But look at the packaging. Does it look familiar like all of the other packs from that brand, from that breeder? Maybe send a picture of it to that breeder. Click a pic and say, hey, is this your packaging? I'll recognize my handwriting. If I scribbled on there, Orange Gasm, I'll recognize that. That'll be in my handwriting. It should be the real labels. It should be the real packaging. I don't think there's a vendor out there faking my packaging yet. I'd be fucking honored if they are. That's kind of cool. That means you made it. But so they're asking about how can you tell if you got genuine seeds and you weren't ripped off. Look at the breeder packaging. Hopefully they came in that. If not, I don't know how else to tell you, man. Grow them and compare them with notes from other growers. But that's the hardest way to do it. My advice would be to back up and instead of already having bought the seeds, do the research on the breeder, find the lines you want, contact the breeder, see if they're available. If they're not available through the breeder, find a vendor that the breeder recommends through their website. My website's got, it needs to be updated, but my website has a list of vendors that should or would carry my seeds. Just come through me now. It's much easier. But go to the breeder, then check their vendors, and then vet those vendors. Just go to, you can go to other websites, like you can use other forums to see if those websites that ship you beans are legit or not. So do your research, come to my Discord and ask. I know a lot of the vendors. I know a lot of the seed, a lot of the people in this industry and this game, we all know each other. So just come to my Discord and talk to me and ask about it. We'll let you know if the place you're thinking about spending your money is legit or not. Had a seed bank that's local. They had a handful of my stuff. It's hard to tell if that's mine or not. Like I said, they could have bought a bulk deal of my stuff and pieced it out. I highly doubt that that's what happened. I don't want to tell you that you probably got duped on those seeds, but send me a picture of the packaging. Send me a picture of the handwriting. I probably couldn't recognize the seeds. That sounds silly to think I could, but send me pictures, ask me more questions. I'll follow up, let you know what I think you've got. Other than that, my buddy Leroy Jenkins, make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free gift at Eyrie Direct. Ladies and gentlemen, you're probably wondering, how do you get that free gift? How do you get those free prizes? It's easy enough. Send me a question. If I read your question here on the website, I will send you a coupon code for a free prize from Eyrie Direct. I have to be very careful what I say because of YouTube, but Eyrie Genetics is the place where the questions can be sent. All right, let's keep this party moving. This one came from somebody called Galaxy Solutions. They spelled it crazy, made me think I had a problem. I can read, I promise. This one says, oh, Galaxy, check your inbox, free prize. It says, I had a Bruce Banner and a Gorilla Skittles growing. Sounds good so far. The Banner hermed and seeded my grow. That's not good. I just realized I was reading this question like Alex from Story Wars. Question number two. I had a Bruce Banner and Gorilla Skittles growing. The Banner hermed and seeded my grow. My issue is the seeds produced about 50% autos. Where did the auto genes come from? Neither plant was an auto. What happened? I don't know why I read it like Alex Scarlato from Story Wars. It was instinctual. That happened. So this dude grew two strains. One of them went hermed. The Bruce Banner went intersex on them, which means it was a female plant. Something stressed or triggered that plant to throw male anthers. It threw male pollen sacs. They were intersex pollen sacs, I guess. It produced male parts. Those male parts threw pollen. That pollen pollinated the other plant in the room. Seeds happened. Not surprising. That's what works out. It says the seeds produced about 50% autoflowers. Where did those genes come from? Neither plant was an auto. What the fuck happened? That's a really good question. I understand what happened. I think. I don't know exactly what happened. So plant A and plant B, neither one of those are autoflowers that we know of. One hermed. So not autoflowers. You got two photoperiod plants. They don't autoflower on you. When they bred, an autoflower came out of that. How did that happen? That means that there was a double recessive trait unlocked. So it was a recessive trait of autoflower somewhere on this side and a recessive trait of autoflower somewhere on this side. And when they locked up, when they bred, the double recessive unlocked the autoflower. That's how you unlock the recessive trait. It wasn't a dominant trait because we didn't see it in either plant. We grew this one, we grew this one, no autoflower. When they bred together, we produced a trait that we haven't seen in these plants. That means that most likely what happened here genetically, in my estimation and my understanding, is that was a recessive trait that was hidden in this one. Recessive. We put the double recessive together. It became a present trait. It popped out in the offspring in some of the progeny as a dominant trait. So that's what happened, bro. You unlocked a double recessive. That's basic genetics I think that's what happened. I can't explain that any other way. It this plant was secretly an asshole and this plant was secretly an asshole. They just never, it didn't express it. And when you bred them, the kids were true assholes. It's kind of the way that I can put that out there. That's the fucking, I don't know, just that's the easiest way. It was a double recessive trait. The little small A for autoflower was hidden in both of those genes and both of those gene codes, and you just didn't see it. It didn't present. And then once you bred them together, the two little A's came together, and they became a big capital A in the offspring. That's the easiest way for me to explain it, dude. So it makes complete sense to me. It's not a surprise. Somewhere along the line, there's autoflower recessive traits in that breeding. One of the grandparents, because now you're unlocking traits from a grandparent somewhere, probably is what happened. The Bruce Banner, I don't know, and I couldn't tell you enough about the breakdown of both of these plants, but we could follow it back somewhere, and there's some autoflower lineage or something in there, maybe. And or also, if you're buying Bruce Banner, who knows what you got, and Gorilla Skittles also, who knows what the fuck you got. It depends on where these seeds came from also. Was this from a reputable breeder? Was this from a white label company? Where did each of these plants come from? Were they clones? Are you sure they were what they were? But that's, a lot of that is just other info. What I really think happened is double recessive caused a dominant trait. You just unlocked a double recessive. All right, that's what I think happened. I'm sticking to it. I can't even think of an easier way to explain it other than it wasn't a dominant trait. You never saw it. It was in there, but it just never expressed. And then when you bred them together, they both had it, which is really odd. But you found two plants that both fucking had it. You unlocked a secret code, and you unlocked that recessive trait, and it came out in the progeny. I really can't think of any other way to say that. All right, I got something in my eye, but that's not going to stop me. Dude, make sure you check your inbox because you've got a free prize from iRedirect. I just saw who this next message is coming from. I did not pick this one on purpose. This one's from my buddy Possum. Shout out to Possum. What great fucking timing. Possum, you deserve this. You need this more than anybody right now. I'm glad to read your message. Make sure you check your inbox for that coupon code from iRedirect. This one goes a lot like this. I can almost hear it in your fucking voice, dude. What's up, Rasta Jeff? I'm not going to read all that part. Much love, big support, really see the difference. All right, my question is, and I don't mean to overdo all that, bro. We're just bros, and I appreciate you. I'm not going to read all the greeting right now. My question has to do with breeding. I appreciate that. It says, I have a 4x4. So you got a 4x4 tent with two 250-watt lights. I'd prefer a little more light, but this is going to get us there. And also a 2x2 that I can hang a 70-watt light in. All right, so we've got a 4x4 and a 2x2. I already know where we're going with this, bro. How would you go about plant placement and numbers to get max yield out of my tents while reversing one plant and pollinating another? I'm going to interrupt you. Don't worry too much about max yield. You're a home grower, and max yield of seeds for a home grower will be ridiculous and overwhelming. I can bang out 2,000 seeds in a very small plant. So let's just focus on getting happy, healthy plants and doing it in a timely manner. I know you want as many seeds as you can get. You don't want that many, bro. Like, you don't want that many. But it's fun, but you don't want that many. Max yield out of my tents while reversing one plant and pollinating another. I would like to leave the rest of the plants unpollinated for harvest. That part was where we're going to have a conversation. Is it possible to get seeds and a harvest out of these setups? Thanks in advance and much love. I'm going to tell you, first of all, don't get caught speeding. You'll get your feelings hurt. I wouldn't recommend trying to do a seeded crop and a non-seeded crop at the same time. I would say, don't be selfish. Pick one and do one. It's only going to take you a short crop worth of time, and then you can clean up and get back and get your flowering crop of your seedless bud ready to go. So, I guess in the short terms, I would say don't get caught speeding. That's the easiest way to say that, because you will get your feelings hurt. Your whole crop, both crops will be seeded. So I know you don't want to hear this way, but this is my solid advice. This is really what I think. Run a seed crop, make enough seeds to where you don't have to do it again for a long fucking time, and then have all those seeds. Clean up, run your crop how you normally do it the next time. That's really what I would do. I know you want me to tell you how to not seed these plants over here. It's going to be super hard, dude. You're going to have to. So I guess have the 2x2 and another room, have the 4x4 and another room, and keep them far apart. You're going to have pollen in one, and we'll talk more about the details here, but you'd have pollen in one and plants that you want to pollinate in another, And then at some point, I guess, just drag the pollinated plants you want to pollinate to the other tent would be the way to do it. But man, that's going to be a pain in the ass. You're going to get some pollen contamination. That's really what I think will happen. So if you want to do it that way, I'm going to tell you what I would really do, and then we'll modify it to do it your stingy, selfish-ass way. But you're going to get caught speeding and get your feelings hurt, and you can't make that shit up. So what I would do with this is I would take that 2x2 with the 70-watt, and I would dedicate that to the reversal, because we need to start spraying and reversing the pollen donor before we put the females into flower. So to make fems, we need two separate flowering chambers, which you've got right here. I would put that 2x2 to use. I would put the reversal candidate in there and spray it and put that into flower. Now that's day one of flower on your reversal. 14 to 21 days later, you want to flip that 2x2. So what I would do, I would put two different plants in the 2x2. This is what I do, legitimately. This is what I've done recently. Put two different plants in the 2x2. Two plants that you would really like to breed with that you think are going to work good. Have a main idea and a backup plan. And we're going to treat both of these plants with whichever product you choose. If it's the silver thiosulfate or maybe it's the Elite X Elite, let's treat both of these plants the exact same. One of them is going to show you that it reversed better than the other. When you see one that you like reversing, the main one, if it's reversing, go ahead and cut down that second one and get rid of it. I just want to make sure we get a reversal out of this and we get a plant that's going to make us some pollen. I do two plants to have a backup plan because sometimes shit does not reverse properly. So I would reverse two. As soon as you start seeing them reverse and seeing male plants, male pollen sacs, male anthers, pollen parts start popping up, then I would cull the second plant. If the first one doesn't look like it's doing it, cull that bad bitch. So we got our flower chamber, the 2x2. Put two different cuts in there. Spray them. Put them into flower. As soon as you see them starting to reverse, put the other tent into flower. Now we got a 4x4. You could do a few things over here. You said you want to make maximum yield. I would do 3-gallon pots, and I would do like maybe 9 of them crammed in there kind of tight. I know that sounds crazy, but 9 of them in 3-gallon pots is going to be pretty good in a 4x4. You could do more. You can do 16 if you really want to. Don't veg them very big. Veg them, 10 inches, 12 inches? Veg them that big and flip them. Put a stick in the middle there to support them up. Just have 16 fucking 3-gallon pots in that 4x4. Veg them real quick. Turn them and burn them if you want to do them that way, because you're going to make a lot of seeds. Little plants are going to make a lot of seeds. So you got two pollen donors over here. You're going to select one when the time is right. You got somewhere between 9 and 16 3-gallon pots in the other one. Or I would do 9 and 16 because for the amount of pollen you've got, that's enough plant material. Like, you don't want to have too many plants in there and not have enough pollen to hit everybody. So I think 9 to 16 3-gallon pots, veg them till they're about a foot tall, flip them 14 to 21 days after you flipped this. Then approximately, and these are approximate numbers, day 26 to day 32-ish, your pollen donors in flower are going to be ready to give these bitches pollen. So put this into flower, put these into flower, and wait. When the girl plants look like they've got, you guys call them the dandelions or the hares. When the hares are nice and thick, when the dandelions have puffed up on all the girls, and the pollen donors look like you'll start seeing pollen looking like it wants to come out. The sacs will start opening. They'll turn purple and start popping. That's when it's time to take that reversal and put it in there and give it a good shake and start pollinating all of your girls. So that's how I would do it with the numbers and how I would go about it. How would you go about plant placement and numbers? I would do two plants in here. And then I like the OCD grid of either 3x3 to make 9 or 4x4 to make 16. Any more than that's going to get hectic in here on a 4x4. I wouldn't do more than that. And these are going to be little plants. They're only going to be vegging for a few weeks, a couple of weeks. Honestly, get them in there and get the pollen donors reversed right away and let those other plants veg for that 2 weeks. They're going to overgrow what you think they're going to do. They're going to get ahead of you. So that's plant placement and numbers. 3x3 grid, 4x4 grid, max yield out of my tents. You're going to make so many fucking seeds this way, dude. You can make a lot of seeds. You can make, in a 3-gallon pot with a plant veg just about knee high to me, I pull about 2,000 seeds per plant. That's, and I'm not joking. I'm being, Like, I'm giving you fucking details here. So you're going to make a lot of fucking seeds, bro. And then, is it possible to get seeds and harvest out of these setups? Or, yeah, seeds and a harvest. Thanks in advance. So the way I wrote down, you're going to pollinate everything. That's what I said. I wrote, do two grows and stop being selfish. But you can do it if you really insist on fucking speeding and getting your feelings hurt. You can, like I said earlier, keep the two tents far apart as far as possible. Pollen's going to get into I know this dude's got long hair and your girl's got dreadlocks. Pollen's going to move around that way. It's small. It's microscopic. Filtration's going to be a real bitch. But get that pollen donor plant as far away as you can from the non-seeded plants. And then get that pollen donor going. And then get this room into flower. I'm thinking about how to do this. So we got pollen going. We got these bitches into flower. Grab the plant you want to pollinate from that room and drag it to the other. You can't. There's no room, dude. No, it's not going to work, man. It's not going to work, dude. You could put one plant in there. So if you want to pollinate one fucking plant, drag it over there, put it in with that girl when you think it's time, with that dude, and let it go. And you can make one cross with that. And I think you're accidentally going to pollinate the rest of this tent over here. So I would just say, fuck it, dude. I would bite the bullet and pollinate the whole thing. Why not? It's an 8-week run from pollen. Well, it's going to be 10 weeks over here. It's 8 weeks. It's a 10-week flowering run, essentially. You're going to make so many seeds. I know how many seeds you buy. I'm fucking myself big by telling you how to do this. I know how many seeds you buy. One run it's worth it to you, dude. You love seeds so much that I say do it. I say bite the bullet. And I know that you've gotten into a rhythm to where you finally got your ganja coming in, but dude, this is a way to make the seeds coming in too. You'll be fully self-sufficient. You won't need to spend money on the websites anymore. You'll be able to pull seeds out of a vault. You'll be able to pop as many as you want. If you kill a few, that's fine, because you just made thousands of them. You can let them grow and you can go ugly, ugly, best one favorite. You can pick and choose. You can kick them over. You can throw them out. You'll have so much fun with it, dude. As long as you can cover that smoke need for that time period, I say fucking do it, man. And I think you can do it. I think you can get ahead of, you got to get ahead of the grow. But I think you can get ahead of the grow enough to actually have enough medicine to supply you and what you need. And then I think you can make your own seeds. Now keep this in mind. You can dry and cure these plants. And you can hand fucking pull the seeds out of them as you roll up your own joints. I know people that do that. It seems tedious and it's crazy. You'll have one crop that you can smoke that's filled with seeds. There's nothing stopping you from chopping these down, drying them and curing them. And then as you fucking pull your nugs out, just grind it up over a tray. There's your seeds. There's your smoke. It sucks. The smoke isn't going to be the same. Something's different when you pollinate it. It smokes differently. Sometimes I enjoy it. Some plants, it's not as good. Sometimes it gives it a fuller bodied buzz. Sometimes stuff that'll give you like a eye buzz or a head buzz or whatever, it'll give you a different kind. It'll shift something. It's fuller. I think something happens in the plant. It gets to express its full self. So sometimes smoking that seeded flower is not the worst thing in the world. That's also an option. So, dude, I think I've rambled on about this one long enough. I say don't get caught speeding. You'll get your feelings hurt. Just try to run the whole room and make seeds. Or drag one plant over there, put it with the pollen donor. You're still going to get caught speeding and pollinate this one, and you're going to be pissed off about that. So that's an option there. And then I don't remember what the fucking third option that I just came up with was, but it was a good idea. But you can make one cross, or you can make nine of them. Just do two separate crosses. Make enough fucking seeds, dude. Have enough seeds for the rest of your life. Have fun. Just make sure you got the needs covered for enough time. I really don't know what the third option was. I'll catch up with it when I edit. It'll be brilliant, I'm sure. But my dude, you don't need to worry because you've got a free pack coming your way. Make sure you check iRedirect. Make sure you check your inbox. Dude, I got fucking lost trying to think about that third answer. It'll come to me. Don't worry. I'll remember it as I edit. But make sure you check your inbox, dude, because you've got a code for a free pack from iRedirect. I'm also trying to be careful not to say too many things that the YouTube will strike us down for. All right, I got one more question here in front of me. This one also came from that Grow Help tab over there at that one spot. This one came from somebody who wants to be called Shay. Shout out to my new friend Shay. Trying to get these papers unstuck here. There we go. I know what I'm doing today. I had one little hiccup and it threw everything off. All right, this one says, "Hey, Rasta Jeff, thank you for answering these breeding questions. They are super helpful. It's all about getting to the breeding right now, because I know you guys need to make your own beans because things are about to get weird. It says, today I was wondering about making a back cross seed line. This is a very good question. I have heard for the initial outcross, it is best to use a very different strain in order to bring vigor to a line. Is this true? If my goal is to retain the funk and smell of a strain, shouldn't I use something with similar terps in the initial cross? No, that sounds like a good idea, is to use something with similar terps, but that is very counterintuitive in my opinion. Let me back up and talk a little bit about back crosses, and then I'll explain to you why my theory is the way that it is. A back cross. What's a back cross? When we are breeding, most of the time we are going forward with breeding. We're taking plant A, plant B that are non-related. We breed them together. We make seeds. The next step from there is to find a good male and a good female out of that and breed those together to make the further filial generations. We breed forward. Now, if we were to take any of those forward-made seeds and breed them backwards down the number line to another parent from previous in the generations, that is, we went backwards. The key line there is backwards. That is a back cross. There are a few reasons why people do this. A lot of times I do it, not a lot of times, the reason I do it is because I wanted to make a seed line from a line that does not have a male plant. There is a female, but there's no male. So I don't have a pollen donor. So if I want to make seeds of this cross, I have to adulterate the line by adding something else to it. And then I need to find a male from, because I've got the girl, right? So I'm going to pollinate it with a different boy. Then I'm going to find a seed out of there that is a boy that represents my goal in a way that I think I can pollinate the girls and recreate that girl again. Then we repeat that process. We find another seed. So that is your BX1. Then we grow those seeds. We find a seed again that looks like a male that represents the female that I want to breed to, and I use that male to hit that girl again, and now I've made my BX2. My goal here, so there's a couple things going on. The first thing I had to do to make this back cross seed was adulterate the genetics by adding another line to it. So I've added something else too, and we're going to talk about Golden Goat because I've made Golden Goat back crosses. I took a Daybreaker male and I pollinated the Golden Goat female with the Daybreaker male. That made what I call a rise. But then I wanted to make a Golden Goat back cross out of that. So I've got the Golden Goat pollinated by Daybreaker. Why does that make a good, I'm going to touch on a lot of things here kind of in a clusterfuck, but it's all going to make sense. Why was the Daybreaker a good candidate to make a back cross to the Golden Goat? In my experience and opinion, it's a good candidate because they are completely different plants in almost every way. Leaf shape is completely different. The Daybreaker makes big, gigantic leaves that are super wide. You could fucking camp under those leaves. You could build a canopy. You could make a boat out of these leaves. If you're rolling Canagars, Daybreaker is your leaf, dude. These things were bigger than my head. You could make a hammock out of these fucking leaves. The plants were kind of stretchy. They had long, viney branches, completely OG Kush aromas, completely identifiable. The leaves were way different. The Golden Goat has long, skinny, very serrated, jagged, almost angry-looking leaves. They look like they got a knife. And so they're completely different visibly. So why do I want something completely different? Because when I breed that to my Golden Goat, I'm going to grow the seeds out. And now what I want to find is a plant that completely represents the Golden Goat so I can find that boy and pollinate the mom again to make that back cross. But I want to wash out all of the Daybreaker genetics in this process. So I take the Daybreaker, pollinate the Golden Goat, seeds come out of that. I searched then for a seed, a male, that looked just like my original Golden Goat female, because that doesn't contain any of the Daybreaker chromosomes, or at least minimal Daybreaker traits. It could have the traits, chromosomes, traits. There's going to be a conversation to be had there. But the traits aren't expressed in a Daybreaker-looking way. They're Golden Goat-dominant phenotypes. So now I'm thinking I'm washing out that adulteration that I put in. So at one point, my plant was essentially 50-50 Golden Goat Daybreaker. I found one that is a lot Golden Goat. I'm going to pollinate that original Golden Goat with my new Golden Goat. And now it's double Golden Goat, right? My idea is that I'm going to wash out some of that Daybreaker trait with my new Golden Goat. So the next progeny, the next batch of seeds that come out of there, so I've done Golden Goat to Daybreaker. That's just an F1. But I took that F1 and pollinated the Golden Goat again. That is now a BX1, a Backcross 1, a first-generation Backcross. I'm going to find one that looks like the Golden Goat, and I'm going to keep doing that and hitting the female, the original Golden Goat, every time and going Backcross. The idea is to wash out that Daybreaker trait every time to get it a little bit more Golden Goat. Now, my prediction, my ideal worked very well because the very first generation of those Golden Goat Backcrosses are beautiful. There's a very high percentage of phenotypes that represent the original Golden Goat mother in that original Backcross crossing. I should do it again, but it's almost not even necessary. If I did it again, it would lock it in like crazy. Most of the time, I don't have the chart in front of me. Most of the time your Backcross comes out, it's like a 70% of your traits are going to look like your original intended plant. Then you do the Backcross again, and it puts it at like 79 or 81. Then you do the Backcross again, it's like 84 or 86 or something like that. I feel like my selections, and also, let me give credit to the Golden Goat. The Golden Goat is a bad motherfucker of a plant. My first Backcross attempt got me within that like 80% of my progeny look like the original Golden Goat. And that was the first Backcrossing of it. I haven't done the next one. I just haven't felt the need. I've been more excited about Arise F3 Femmes and stuff like that. Did I say that out loud? But so that's the Backcross. Let me make sure I'm answering the question. I got fucking rambled on here. Oh, I've heard for the initial Outcross, it's best to use a very different strain. Yes. Your goal is to retain the funk and smell of the strain. Shouldn't you use something different? No, because we're going to abandon all of the phenotypes that are, in this case, Daybreaker. If I'm making Golden Goat Backcrosses, I'm going to take the Daybreaker, hit the Golden Goat. Immediately when I see Daybreaker traits, big fat leaves, long stretchy stalks, those plants go. Fuck them. Don't need them. Looking for Golden Goat. I want tight internode spacing. The Golden Goat makes a very unique leaf trait, leaf shape. I'm going to look for that. Then when I find a male that I think might suit my needs, I'm going to take a couple of suitors or a couple of studs and I pick off a leaf. And then I go over to the original Golden Goat female and I match up those leaves. And I look to see, are the serrations the same? Is the petiole the same? Do they smell similar? Do they grow the same? That's how tedious I am with my Backcross. So, I got fucking lost again. So my ADD is kicking up. My voice is burning out. This is a great question. I think I answered it. Use something way different so that you can identify the traits. We don't want to take more of that Daybreaker trait. I want to take all Golden Goat. So it's like if I said, throw red and blue marbles in a thing and just pick out the blue ones. It's so much easier. Red and blue. I can find all the red and blue. We'll keep the purple, we'll keep the red, but pick out all the blue. That's nice and easy to do. Let's say pick out all the giant fucking leaves. Those are all of the Daybreaker plants. All right, I'm lost. I'm rambling. This is a fun fucking episode. I got to talk about breeding. I got to talk about Backcrossing. This was a good show. If you haven't caught on, iRead Genetics is the place for the questions. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pimps, hoes, friends, foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, pollen chuckers, all of you beautiful ganja growers out there, thank you once again for watching an episode of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. I really do appreciate it. Make sure you click like, make sure you click subscribe. Check out patreon.com/growfromyourheart. That is all I've got for you for this episode. I'll be back in a week with fresh new content. I want to give a big shout out to my friend Doja Sun. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me. Time to take another dab. Grab your piece and then I go find the bag. Rasta Jeff is in the lab. Sit back, Pokemon, we relax. Hold up. Roots and wisdom start to show. From the knowledge seeds we grow. Tune in now to hear the vibe. Rasta Jeff in our conscious tribe. Spreads the truth in every word. Every voice must now be heard. Healing light through cannabis. Grow from your heart, cure bliss. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your heart, it's every day. In the light we stand real strong. Join the movement, sing the song. Natural medicine and love. Within us like a dove.
educate and elevate. Join the journey, don't be late. Open minds to see the truth. In the soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden, find the new. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your hearts every day. In the light, we stand real strong. Join the movement, sing the song. Ooh, 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 ooh. Open minds to see the truth. In the soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden, find the new. Rise up high.